Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining the kickoff of the Electronic Prior Authorization RFI Task Force. I'm Mike Berry, I'm with ONC, and we are very pleased that you could join us today. We would like to thank our co-chairs, Cheryl Turney and Tammy Banks, for serving as co-chairs of this task force, and all the task force members for lending their time and expertise. As a reminder, your feedback is always welcomed, which can be typed in the chat feature to everyone throughout the meeting, or can be made verbally during the public comment period that is scheduled at approximately 11:20 this morning. So let's get started with our meeting. I'll now call the meeting to order and begin roll call of our task force members. So when I call your name, please indicate you are present. Let's start with our co-chairs. Cheryl Turney. I believe Cheryl's still connecting, so let's go to Tammy Banks.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I am on Slack. Okay. Sorry, Michael, I got your other task.
I think Mike, you called me. I'm present.
Okay. Raj Gadvarti.
I'm here.
Kim Georges.
Present.
Rich Landon.
Rich Landon is here.
Aaron Neary. Eliel Oliveira.
I'm here.
Michelle Schreiber. Alexis Snyder.
Good morning.
And Deborah Strickland.
I'm here.
Great. Thank you, everyone. So now please join me in welcoming Cheryl and Tammy for their opening remarks. Cheryl, Tammy?
Can you hear me?
We can. Thank you, Cheryl.
Okay, well, I don't know why I couldn't get the panelists linked this morning. So I want to thank everybody who volunteered to participate in this forum, a very important activity, and really looking forward to working with all of you. I think that we have a quite aggressive agenda, as you will see in the presentation. And so we are going to be asking folks to, you know, put in their homework, if you will, but looking for lively discussions, and hopefully we'll set those off in a very few minutes. So thank you all very much and looking forward to the discussion.
I also would like to welcome the committee, and I know I look forward to catching up to the great work that was done before this work over at ICAD, and also thank NCVHS and ONC for the opportunity to co-chair this meeting, and look forward to collaborating with all of you on this very important issue, which I think we all know is a priority item that needs to be resolved. And so again, look forward to the discussions and the great output that we're going to get together, to finalize through this work. So thank you. Cheryl, did you want to go through the agenda, or would you like me to go through it?
Sure, why don't you go ahead?
Okay. We got a jam-packed meeting today. A lot of briefing just to get up to speed. We'll start with introductions, go through the charge, work group planning. Alex and Michael will go through the electronic prior authorization RFI that was published last week. And then we would really like to jump right into the discussion and begin to flesh out where we want to go. Again, because of the shortened time frame, it's going to be very important that we continue the conversations between meetings and during meetings. Then the public comment, and then we'll head into next steps and what type of homework to be prepared for the next meeting.
All right, we can go to the next slide. Okay, this is the list of volunteers. We're very happy to have you all participating. I will say that we may have a couple of additional individuals who may join our group where we have had invites, outreach to them. So if they're not here today, hopefully they will be here in a future meeting. I do think we have a good representation across the board. And so why don't we take a moment and for the folks who are on, we can see the organizations that you represent. I think from this perspective of the group, just so we can match up your name and your organization, you just take, you know, 30 seconds to tell us a little about yourself. I will start. I'm Cheryl Cherney from Anthem. I lead the interoperability work for Anthem and data use and data sharing. And I'm also a representative from HITECH and really looking forward to this work. Tammy?
Thank you, Cheryl. I sit on the NCVHS full committee and the subcommittee of standards and working on the SOGI work. I'm an individual. I come at this more from the provider perspective. Due to my background with organized medicine and basically looking at operationalization solutions.
Thank you. Hans?
My name is Hans Buitendijk. I am a director of interoperability strategy with Cerner, focusing on our industry engagement around topics like this. Actively involved in a number of industry activities, but specifically in this context, I'm currently chair of the EHRA, where EHR vendors come together, HL7, DaVinci, Argonaut, Care Quality, Commonwealth, so a number of different organizations that that touch on these topics.
Wonderful. Rajesh, is that the right way to say it?
Yeah, sure. You can call me Raj. Hi, this is Raj from MCG Health. I'm AVP of Technology and Interoperability, primarily leading the interoperability initiatives. My background over the last few years is in the HL7 DaVinci space, dealing with several interoperability initiatives. And my expertise is the clinical decision support. Primarily, this is the bread and butter of what I have been living and dealing with the last few years. In the electronic prior authorization and burden reduction, actually even implementing with payers and providers, participated in DRLS committee, co-leading the HL7 DaVinci efforts on these implementation guides. So very much looking forward to work with all of you.
Wonderful. Jim?
Yeah, I'm Jim Gergis, an internist from HCA Healthcare. I'm the Chief Health Information Officer. I was on the original ICAD meeting, so we're so excited to see this follow-up. Man, from a provider standpoint, there's so much waste involved in the manual human effort that this is a noble and worthy, impactful program. So I'm very excited to participate.
Thank you, Jim. Rich?
Good morning, Rich Landon. I am a retired individual. I am also co-chair of the National Committee on Vital and Health Statistics Subcommittee on Standards. My background includes hospital administration, payer trade associations, X12, CAQH Core, and like a few others, I am a veteran of ICAD. Thanks.
Wonderful. Aaron? Okay, why don't we go to, is it Eli?
It'll be Eliel.
Eliel.
Thank you, Sharon. Good morning, everyone. My name is Eliel Oliveira, the Director of Research and Innovation at the Dell Medical School here in Austin. And I have quite a few years in healthcare IT. I was previously the Chief Information Officer for the Louisiana Public Health Institute, where I managed our Greater New Orleans Health Information Exchange and a pCornet data network. Previously, I was in cancer research for about 10 years. And I also support our HIE in Central Texas. I am currently the lead technical for two ONC-funded projects under the LEAP project. And I have also worked with ONC in the past closely in several fire standards development in different areas, from PO extraction from electronic medical records and pediatric consent in clinical trials. Thank you.
Wonderful. Next, we have Michelle. Or do we have someone else on from CMS?
I don't see anyone from CMS as an alternate, Cheryl.
Okay. How about Alexis? All right. And what about Deborah?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, my name is Deborah Strickland. I'm a member of NCVHS full committee as well as the standards subcommittee. I've been in standards development, X12, WEDI, and the like for 20 plus years, and I was also part of the ICAD work group.
All right, wonderful. I thought someone else said they were here, but now I'm not seeing the note. So, all right, I guess we can go to the next slide. Welcome, everybody. And again, I think we have a great group that will hopefully work together to provide the best input for this RFI to advise ONC with our recommendations. So next, we're going to go over the charge for the task force. I think we can advance it to the next slide. All right. Do you want to go over this, Tammy, or do you want me to?
Go ahead.
Wonderful. Okay, so the charge that we have been provided from ONC, and this is what frames our scope of work, is that ONC has issued a request for information that's seeking input on electronic prior authorizations. So what we're looking to do is to provide comments and recommendations as a result of that RFI. That hopefully all of you have received and had the opportunity to review. And these comments will be used by the ONC to help inform the work that they're going to be doing on the health IT certification program, as well as incorporated into standards and certification criteria and potentially future notices of public rulemaking. So our task force specifically is to provide input and recommendations in response to the RFI on the electronic prior authorization to inform future rulemaking and other actions in this area. We have a very limited time period, and it's March 10th, 2022. And so as a result, we do have a fairly aggressive schedule. But I think this will be a little bit easier than the ICAD work for those of you that were part of that with me, because we are starting with an artifact, and we're going to get right into it a little bit later after we go over the overview of the RFI. And so now I'm going to turn it over to, is it Michael? It's going to be Alex Baker, who's going to review the elements of the RFI. Oh, sorry, I skipped ahead. This is the draft work plan. And in this work plan, as you can see, today is the 27th. We will have some homework. We've created, Excel has created a Google Doc for us to capture comments and input. So we'll be able to start each meeting, with a little bit more of a structure. Today, we're going to talk a little bit more about the functions and capabilities that need to be present in an electronic prior auth. And then we're going to build from there with our recommendations and response to the questions that were included in the RFI. And so, as you can see, we have weekly meetings at this time that are going to run through March 3rd, when we hopefully will have a final discussion and edits of our proposals and recommendations and paper that's going to go to HITECH, and then that will go to HITECH in the March 10th meeting. And we really can't slip from this schedule because, as you know, the RFI has a very specific time period where comments have to be accepted, and that time period ends also in March. So this is a schedule that we're going to need to try to adhere to. The more input we can get sooner on the questions that were asked and the capabilities that we're going to be talking about are going to help us all in our discussions. Any questions on the work plan?
Cheryl, Rich has his hand up.
Yeah, Cheryl or Tammy, I think the charge is clear, but my question is, why the task force? I mean, what is the expectation either from HITACH or ONC for input from this group that would be different from just all of us responding to the RFI individually?
Well, in my experience, and I'll answer this from what I've done, and then I'll let Michael Berry speak on it as well. Whenever ONC has done a notice of public rulemaking or an RFI, they since HITACH has been established and I've been part of it, there has been a task force that has been raised to provide additional comments. And again, it's just from my view, another way to get as many comments as possible, because I do believe the outcome is to try to have the best opportunity to gather all the information in a very short period of time. And then Michael, Barry, I don't know if you want to add anything to that or.
No, that's exactly right, Cheryl. And I think the task force, because this is, you know, multi-week opportunity for discussion, not only amongst the task force members, and of course the public can, you know, provide their comments through the chat or through the public comment period. It's a live conversation back and forth, and I think that a lot of good ideas and conversation will come out of this discussion, this task force, as opposed to just submitting something online through the public comment process that's established for the RFI. So that's how I would view it. It's more robust and just different, you know, different opinions coming in from the various people from the task force.
Does that answer your question, Rich?
Can I ask one more question, Cheryl?
Yes, yeah. Thank you.
So in addition to our own comments and discussions in this time frame, are we also responding to public comments?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your question. Can you say that again?
Oh, in addition to task force discussing all the RFI stuff, in this time frame, are we also responding to the public comments?
My experience is we have not in the past. If there's comments that come through the chat, you know, we will talk about those, but we don't necessarily respond to all of those. We do try to provide, when needed, qualifications around the comments that we do make, so that if we are stating a particular recommendation or direction, often we will provide some background as to why we believe that's needed or necessary, but it's not always possible for us to respond to every public comment. So we're not going to be going out to the website and looking at every commenter during this period. We're going to focus on the discussions and the information that's raised in this forum.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Let me just add, Raj, that, you know, this forum is meant for the HITACH recommendations to the national coordinators. You know, it's a consolidated, you know, recommendation that, you know, is voted upon formally at the March 10th HITACH meeting. Will be transmitted to Mickey for consideration.
Oh, thanks.
Can I just add one more thing? I mean, these types of forums are great because, I mean, I've worked with many of you before in really looking at this from all the different stakeholder perspectives and coming out with recommendations that meet the overall industry needs versus coming from individual stakeholder needs, which both are important. And so this helps balance the recommendations that come out. And nice presentation, Raj, on the DaVinci Forum yesterday. Anybody who's interested in implementation of the prior auth, take a look at that recording, because you and your colleagues did a nice job.
Thanks.
I think Jim has his hand up.
Yeah, hey, quick question. So is this task force tasked with looking at the RFI and answering all the, and responding to all the questions, is that the charge, or is there a separate set of ONC questions they want us to focus on?
The set of questions we have is the same one that exists in the RFI.
So we're going to get an overview again of the RFI questions and then really drive in, right? You know, functional capabilities. What is that minimum set that's needed in order to truly ensure prior authorization works and is used by the stakeholders? And then diving into, you know, what's the status of, you know, the IGs and other things that were recommended. I mean, 2020 was quite a while ago. And so we're going to, you know, gain that expert advice and also, you know, get our own experience on how has time evolved since that last regulation that was dropped.
Yeah, and just being on the prior ICAT task force, you know, we landed with identifying what the data sets were that we thought were necessary. And then we also did a crosswalk to, you know, where are there standards that simply have been adopted by the industry, have not been adopted, but standards exist, or there were quite a few areas where there was not a standard. So is the expectation in the after the RFI that then once the data sets and you know, transport mechanisms, et cetera, are recommended, that then vital statistics and others create terminologies where they sets that where they don't exist? Is that because that seemed like one of the biggest gaps?
So if that would be a gap, then that would definitely be a capability or a function that we would indicate needs to be created in order to you know, support electronic prior authorization. So I think that's you know, exactly the kind of area that we're looking to bring forward to identify where there's current gaps.
Yeah, and just to add on to what Cheryl said, exactly, we're, you know, the ICAD work, we'll, you know, that has to be incorporated within this work as actually a building block, right? And then we have the areas of recommendations, which I think what you're alluding to, what type of recommendations may make sense. So please don't lose those because we're going to want to get that captured or recaptured. How's that?
Right. Absolutely. I can't see the hand raise function. So is there?
I think that's it. That's okay. All we have so far. Okay. I'll keep letting you know.
All right. Thank you. I think we can then go ahead to the next slide. All right, and I'll turn it over to Alex now.
Hi, everybody. Can folks hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. This is Alex Baker. I am the branch chief for the Federal Policy Branch of ONC's Regulatory and Policy Affairs Division under our Office of Policy. And really just want to give a quick overview of what is in the RFI that ONC released last week. I have not included sort of everything in these slides just for space reasons. You know, definitely encourage folks to look at the actual document. And I'm going to run through these fairly quickly, but you know, certainly as Cheryl and Tammy get into the discussion, can turn back to any of these slides as needed. So as you know, folks who've had a chance to look at the RFI, it starts out with some sort of general background about prior authorization processes, about burden issues that have been identified with prior authorization activities in various fora, including ONC's strategy on reducing EHR-related burden that came out in 2020. For the final report, and then turns to some of the key background to inform what is here. So first, we talk a little bit about the certification program, which is really the focus of this RFI in terms of what updates could be made to the certification program to address these issues. Talks about previous activity on prior authorization. So as folks may know, in the 21st Century Cures Act final rule, where ONC adopted NCPDP 2017-071 for the electronic prescribing criterion. ONC identified the prior authorization transactions in that standard as optional for certification. The certification program does not currently address prior authorization for other items and services that beneficiaries may wish to obtain, and that is really the focus of this RFI. And then also talks about the standards-based API criterion that ONC also finalized in the Cures Act final rule based on Fire Release 4 and other specifications, and talks about how you know, while the initial sort of iteration of that criterion is focused on patient access, ONC really sees this capability as supporting a wide variety of use cases in the future, including use cases related to healthcare operations. Next slide. So then we provide a little bit of the background around HIPAA requirements for electronic prior authorization transaction standards, noting that you know, HHS has currently adopted two standards for referral certification and authorization transactions under HIPAA, and then also noting that HHS adopts operating rules under HIPAA, which the operating rules that have already been adopted for that, which do not include specific prior authorization items yet. Next slide. So then we talk about just a couple of recent activities that are really informing this RFI, the 2019 HITACH work, which identified prior authorization as part of interoperability standards priority target areas. Of course, the ICAD task force final report in 2020, which provided a very in-depth look at this area and look at available standards that could be used to support these activities. And then talks about the NPRM that was released in December 2020, the NPRMs, plural. So CMS released the interoperability and prior authorization NPRM, and then in the same notice of proposed rulemaking, ONC released a rider, as we call it informally, in which ONC proposed to adopt the implementation guides that CMS had identified for payer API requirements for APIs that certain payers would be required to establish to support prior authorization. Notes that neither of these have been finalized at this time. And also that, you know, as part of CMS's rulemaking, they were really focused on requirements for payers and did not touch on the requirements for providers or health IT systems used by providers, and talked about, you know, how these, they were sort of looking at how health IT developers and healthcare providers would be expected to voluntarily update their systems to interact with the APIs that payers were required to establish. Next slide. So then we get into really the meat of the RFI with the specific areas of background where ONC is really looking for comment. And so I'll touch on kind of the background areas and then the questions which come at the end of the document just to match those up. So first there is a section sort of taking a high level view of what are the core set of capabilities that commenters believe should be included in a certified health IT module or modules to support prior authorization, lists a total of seven capabilities here for consideration. So these cover identifying when prior authorization is applicable for an item or service, querying the payer for those authorization requirements for each item and service, and identifying the rules and documentation requirements, being able to collect those the documentation needed to complete the prior authorization documentation from the health IT system, being able to electronically submit that completed documentation to a payer's API. Next slide. Then receiving a response from a payer regarding the approval or denial and a reason for that denial or a need for more information. A capability to be able to query a payer system for updates on pending requests, and then capabilities around being able to meet some of the administrative requirements that payers may have around documentation for those transactions. Next slide. And so some of the questions about these functional capabilities get into, you know, do all of these, do commoners see all of these capabilities as necessary for certified health IT modules to be able to really successfully support these processes? Are there additional capabilities that are not mentioned in this list that should be included here, sort of the fundamental roadmap for what certification criteria should include? Should any of the capabilities that are in this list not be included in certified health IT modules, or should ONC sort of in terms of the certification program be thinking about a more limited set of functional capabilities than what has been described in that list? And then talks about sort of the intersection between these capabilities and the HIPAA compliant workflows that are needed to you know, do a complete submission of the prior authorization transaction, and sort of thinking about certification criteria and whether that should cover the complete HIPAA compliant workflow and any translation that may be necessary, or if you know, ONC should look at more part of that that maybe does not include that translation piece. And then talks a little bit about how commoners believe those functions should potentially be structured within the certification program. So, you know, ONC has choices as they structure certification criteria, which may influence how health IT developers sort of approach certifying their products in the market, that may be influenced by whether ONC chooses to do this in different criteria and different developers that may be focused on different parts of the process versus whether there should be a single criteria. So this last question really gets at that kind of structural piece. Next slide. So then the RFI drills down specifically on the three implementation guides that were proposed by ONC as part of that December 2020 NPRM, the coverage requirements discovery IG, the documentation templates and coverage rules IG, and the prior authorization support IG. Next slide. And the questions here focus on the readiness of, specifically focusing on these three IGs in the context of the certification program. You know, obviously we're previously proposed by ONC in the context of CMS's proposal for payer API requirements. And the focus here for this RFI is the appropriateness of adopting these IGs as part of the certification program in order to support certification criteria. So these questions really get to the readiness of these three IGs for adoption as part of certification criteria, ask about a potential, you know, what would be a feasible timeline for use of these IGs in production for transactions, asks about whether there are additional changes that are needed to the current versions of these implementation guides prior to adoption as part of the certification program. There is a question about alternatives. So if the, you know, commoners believe the existing IGs are not ready for adoption, should ONC still consider certification criteria, for instance, Should ONC consider criteria that may require the use of fire, but don't mention, don't require use of the specific implementation specifications until a later date? If there are readiness concerns, and also talk about whether these, commoners believe the current IGs effectively support some of those compliance requirements around clinical documentation mentioned earlier in the functional capabilities. Next slide. We have a couple more questions about alternative approaches. Sort of generally focusing on are there alternative approaches that ONC should explore that would sort of meet the same needs but are not based on the three DaVinci IGs that we've described? Are there simplified approaches to the workflows described in those IGs that ONC should consider as alternative ways to support electronic prior authorization through the certification program? And then are there any additional specifications that are needed, in addition to the specifications that we've described in order to sort of fully meet the needs of these workflows? Next slide. So then there is a section that is about a specific portion of the prior authorization workflow, and that is healthcare attachments, which has certainly, been the focus of other HHS work in the past. The RFI specifically talks about two approaches for consideration that are that would build on standards that have already been adopted in the certification program. So using the CCDA in order to support attachments and the implementation guide that is available for using the CCDA for healthcare attachments, including prior authorization. And then also talks about fire documents as a potential approach to supporting healthcare attachments. And then asks, sort of besides these two approaches that the RFI describes, are there other approaches that commoners want to put forward that are specific to healthcare attachments? For prior authorization for consideration. Next slide. Then the questions on this section get to the effectiveness of either of the approaches that we've put forward for consideration, the use of the CCDA and the associated attachments IG for exchange, as well as fire documents. Questions about given limited testing of use of these for the specific prior authorization use case to date, what would be a feasible timeline for either of these approaches? Next slide. Have some questions about sort of the strategy of whether commoners believe ONC should consider adopting one or the other of these for certification criteria, or whether ONC should explore use of both within certified health IT. A question about sort of related to the previous section about the DaVinci IGs that and other approaches that might support the complete prior authorization workflow. Do commoners believe that sort of ONC should focus on healthcare attachments alone versus more comprehensive approaches at this time? And then questions about whether those approaches are used in other administrative or operations transactions and whether any of those considerations should inform sort of ONC's next steps with either of these approaches. Next slide. So then the last couple topic areas are really focused on impact for different stakeholders. So first are asking about potential impact on patients of these changes to the certification program. Do commoners believe that the kinds of changes contemplated in this RFI would have the ability to positively impact healthcare consumers, positively impact you know, different areas of concern around prior authorization processes and their impact on patients, and then questions about whether, you know, there are other areas not discussed in this RFI that commoners believe would be particularly impactful for patients in the context of prior authorization. Next slide. Then we focus on providers and, you know, thinking about the kinds of changes contemplated in this RFI. Do commoners believe those would be likely to reduce burden for healthcare providers as they engage in prior authorization activities? To what degree would these kinds of capabilities in certified health IT really be useful to healthcare providers across all of the patients that they serve? To what degree would additional incentives or requirements, you know, outside of what is in the certification program and ONC's authority be necessary to ensure providers are effectively using these capabilities? Would other support documentation be needed to ensure that the kinds of capabilities contemplated in the RFI are effectively implemented and effectively improve workflows? And then any estimates that providers might want to share with ONC about the, you know, potential burden, time, and cost associated with implementing new processes around electronic prior authorization. Next slide. And then we turn to health IT developers, ask for any information health IT developers want to provide about the burden that would be entailed in updating their products to incorporate this new functionality, developing new certified health IT modules that would incorporate this functionality. Ask specifically for any information about you know, specific burden associated with the DaVinci IGs that have been described in the RFI. And then go back to that alternative scenario that was discussed in the DaVinci section about what the relative burden might be if developers were to focus on functionality that was sort of only focused on the use of the base FHIR standard and did not have the specific implementation guides as requirements. Next slide. And then the last section here is around payers and sort of implications for them of changes to the certification program, and sort of particularly what ONC should consider in terms of designing certification criteria with the needs of healthcare payers in mind. So to what degree certification criteria, how they may need to take into account payer workflows as part of developing those requirements. But then also questions for payers about whether those certified health IT modules would reduce burden for them, and if certified health IT modules were available, to what extent payers might look to certification for their own systems if those were available, and how what ONC might want to consider if they're making certification criteria available that are targeted for payers as well. So that is the end of the questions, and I will turn it back to Cheryl and Tammy, and happy to go back to any of these as necessary.
Thank you so much, Alex. Would we be able to go back to slide 14? Because where we would like to start the discussion today is basically to talk about the functional capabilities. 14, yeah. So, you know, hopefully, again, you've all had a chance to look at the details in the RFI, which this deck has highlighted. But essentially, there are about seven things. This goes on to page 15 as well in the deck to identify functional capabilities. And I think to start with, we want to make sure, do we understand what these capabilities are as they are outlined? And is it a complete list? I know the RFI speaks to attachments and it also speaks to patient access, but I think both Tammy and I have agreed that we need to add for functionality the ability to exchange in a standard way attachments, as well as add a functional requirement capability where the patient has the ability to get updated status. That was a key component for the intersection of clinical administrative data. And again, although there's a section here that speaks about the patient, it doesn't really outline that as a capability. And we see that as a core capability because in the end of the day, although there is burden by the providers as well as the payers, when a prior authorization does not get approved, the burden falls on the patient to coordinate both parties, and that's not where the responsibility should really lie. So we want to make sure the patient has the ability through their patient access API to get updated status on their electronic prior authorization and know whose bucket it's in. You know, is the payer waiting on additional information, or is the payer considering that they got all the information and then they're providing deliberation and for the updated determination, or has the prior authorization been approved or denied? And again, if it is denied, then what's the denial reason? So I'd kind of like to start the discussion there, and then I'm going to open it to the other members and panelists if you'd like to weigh in. And Tammy, is there anything you'd like to add?
No, excellent. I appreciate those additions.
All right.
Hans has
again, hand I up. Cannot see the hand raised. So if Tammy, if you can Hans. Do the hand raise, that would be great.
Yep, go ahead, Hans.
You're on mute, Hans.
Is this better?
You got it.
Got it? Okay. You never know how many buttons you need to push for that. but really appreciate the opportunity to participate with this group and go through these questions. I think they're great questions that help us highlight where, what do we have, what do we not have, what do we need to focus on. Initial reaction on this list, so holding opportunity for further refinement of that, but overall, I believe that the list really covers a lot of the steps that are needed, and I agree with Cheryl. There are a couple of clear ones that would need to be considered and added as well. A status update by a consumer. How do we get the data actually across claims attachment? What format do we need to do that? There's one other one that I'd like to offer as well, in particular, and that is there may be some assumptions behind this list. And when you particularly look at the DaVinci implementation guides, that the interaction always would be between the provider-based system and the payer directly. And I think there are a couple of variants in there that have already been demonstrated in early work to date that are in play as well, that would have to recognize some other elements as well. One is that on the provider side, it is not necessarily one system that covers all aspects of the prior authorization workflow. There is a clinical element to it. I need something, I need to possibly prior authorization that start in a clinical environment, but then I have follow-up for additional data that may or may not be automatically retrievable. I need to tie it into other systems. So I think we need to recognize it may not be all coming from one environment. That means is that there are going to be configurations out there that might use smart apps, intermediaries to achieve this. And we already see examples out there where that is happening and beginning to happen. But that also then means is that they need to get the data. They need to get the retrieval of the data. And that is more than the three interactions and the ones that are listed in here. I need to go out and see to the extent I can obtain that information automatically. That's where we see right now interesting alignment on FHIR US Core, to gather the data where that's feasible. So I think we need to recognize that extra step of how can I get consistently, no matter what the system is, access to the data, not just understanding what the data is that I need to get, but to actually get it. I believe that's the most important one at this point in time that jumps out. But then also is that the general construct of we need to not just think of this as everything is done by one system. There are different components depending on the progression where we're at, that it could be a combination of different IT that is going to make this happen.
Do you have specific functional capability? How would you word that so you make sure that it encompasses everything that you're envisioning?
The main one I'd say that I'm highlighting that would need to be added is the automated retrieval, if you will. That might be a shorthand right now that we can flash out.
Excellent. Thank you.
Actual payment of the data that I can do automatically.
Perfect. Thank you. Rich?
Yeah, thanks. My one comment at this point is I think we need to be explicit that what we're looking for is coverage determinations or prior authorization that is specific for this patient. And that's in contrast to a general rule of thumb, but we need a definitive answer for this patient. And so we need to make that very explicit. The other thought is more of a question to the payer knowledgeable members of the task force is, would it also be important to be very explicit and specific about what provider will prior authorization responses differ depending on what provider will be providing the service or item?
Can I ask one question on your first, the coverage determined specific for a patient? So we're assuming, near real time back and forth. Is bulk important to also consider in this functional capability? I mean, do we need both?
By bulk, do you mean multiple patients?
Yes.
Oh, I think I see that as a very different question. Good question, but very different from mine.
Okay, we'll table that. Okay. And then anybody want to respond to his question about provider info being submitted and if that would make a difference on response and if that's something that should be incorporated in the functional capability? And I see Jim with his hand raised and his physical hand raised.
yes, I think it's sort of necessary, I would think, that whoever the provider is would be information that would be passed. I would think so. If the other, I also wanted to bring up one other point, if I could. Mm-hmm. And that is that, when we're automating, it's easy to talk about defining a data set and transport mechanisms, et cetera. But we have to make sure that we incorporate very vividly time. For example, if you automate this process and some information hasn't yet been populated in the EMR, you could experience the unfortunate additional burden of denials going up that have to be then appealed because information came in that actually met authorization requirements. So at some point in understanding the workflow around the information flow is going to be really key. Or untoward consequences could occur. The only other point I wanted to make is we keep talking about prior auth, but remember a lot of hospital admissions are not prior, they're concurrent auth. And I know it's probably just an imprecise term, but what we're really talking about is authorization. The majority of which are prior, but many are not. And there's a different set of workflows around those concurrent off. Someone gets admitted through the ER to a hospital, for example, that's more of a concurrent than a planned prior auth.
Jim, good point. Can we table that part and come back to that? Because I think that's really important. But just stay focused on the prior auth workflow at this point, recognizing their similarities to keep it simple. in regards to the timing, are you, I just want to capture what you're saying. Are you saying that there needs to be time frame around, like you need to respond within X amount of time? Is that where you're going with time?
Or no, I think that's important that there be time, you know, waiting weeks for an authorization. Yeah. I'm talking about the other direction where the provider needs to be, it needs to be designed where the provider can decide when is it time to submit for authorization instead of an automated process. For example, if a patient, if there was an automated trigger, a patient was in the hospital for something, right? Mm-hmm. And then it was all automated and it looked in the EMR and there wasn't the data that it was looking for yet and a denial occurred. But then an hour later, that data came in that would have justified it. Now that goes to, it gets relegated to an appeal process that's highly manual and could make us take several steps backwards because timing has created erroneous denials based on incomplete info where it was over automated. So there has to be some controls for those who are working denials on the provider side to make sure that there isn't a premature submission sent that would create that additional burden, which would be highly ironic and unfortunate.
Yeah, the good, that's what I noticed too, is that, you know, you can, we're looking at it in the workflow that it's going to happen right when the patient's there, when in fact, some workflows you're going to have to role base it out to those who are actually handling authorizations. And so that would be a same type of capabilities, different timing. Do I got you, Jim?
Absolutely. Okay. And I just think that in our response somewhere, we need to emphasize that the system should be designed in such a way to avoid that untoward consequence.
Gotcha.
Good point.
I'm sorry. I don't know if Raj or Deb was left. Can I go Raj just because you're first on my screen?
Yeah, sure. So a couple of observations looking at the scope of the task force. It seems like we are taking a lot on the plate in terms of looking and defining in 2 months, which is doable, but just I want to state that. Number two, when we look at this use case, how much payer can support is critical for the success of what we recommend to as ONC, as a task force, because if that other hand doesn't clap, it's not going to work at all. So if there is the previous task force, or if there is collaboration with CMS where, you know, querying a payer API for prior authorization requirements, and if that is not in place, right, how do we support that? You know, unlike patient access API and provider access API, some of these things, this is really multiple systems coming together to make this happen. So that is one observation I have to see how we can bring support and collaboration from CMS. The second one I would like to comment is the provider workflow. When we use the word, this is going to reduce the burden on the provider sitting at the patient and looking at, like, you know, what did payer say about MRI? You know, what kind of requirements they're asking? That's not really going to work for providers. It's going to create additional fatigue. So we have to really think through the workflow in terms of every provider has a back office workflow. You know, how do we implement these things so that we are not, you know, adding more burden to the providers in the workflow? So we have to look at the workflow aspect very critically.
Good points, Raj. When I was looking at this, I was doing the same thing because, you know, you want this to work. And so you look at the end in mind. And I think for right now, that's where we have to go. Right now, we just have to think about it from the EHR criteria perspective. What is the minimum functional capabilities that need to be built? And then we'll move to that point. And so the question is, what is minimum and what is, you know, the complete Cadillac version? Which is kind of a hard conversation. And how do we then figure out what are the levers to incent, payer providers, you know, where is the reduction in the burden that's going to make people to want to do this? So I think that's going to be part two, if you guys agree in that approach.
Yeah.
To narrow down this scope and agree with the payer workflow. Prior authorizations already have to be done. There's already criteria that's requested. So I don't think we're asking you know, that point, but I know that there's been some pain points in regards to what was asked, and I think that's what was being brought up. So I think that's another thing to put on the table to have a conversation, and I think Jim wants to speak to it, and then we'll get over to Deb.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was going to ask. I was both physically and electronically raising my hand again.
I know you were pretty hyper. I was like, I better get to you. Sorry, Deb, but we owe Deb an apology.
No, go ahead, Deb. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so I was just going to go back to, you know, Rich's original question about what has to be part of this. And I think it's the patient, that patient specific benefit, perhaps the data service, as we're talking maybe now, you know, current prior auth as well as in future. And certainly the provider is going to need to be part of that, because it, you know, if you're saying my PCP is going to do the surgery, no, your surgeon's going to do the surgery. And that's when, you know, that would be acceptable. So I think that those are all pieces and parts that have to be part of the request. And, you know, I understand, and I'm here, and I believe, you know, I think Jim said it, you know, workflows. I think Jim was, you know, more, you know, on the EHR side. I think this is going to be a big pull for the provider. I really do. I really think we have to look into the impacts of what this is all going to entail as far as what the burden is going to be on the provider, and understand that very, very clearly, because, you know, this is supposed to help them, not hurt them. So we want to make sure we're doing right by them.
Good point, Deb. Jim?
Yeah, hey, I just wanted to ask, I have not worked my way through the full RFI yet, but I think there's a couple things. One is the patient identity, then there's the, you know, coverage, what are the patient's benefits, and then the specifics about the procedure and what data is needed, right? And I could see where automating that really will be improvement. But I want to make sure too that that is part of our charts to talk about the rules themselves. Because in the last ICAD meeting and in the draft rule that from the Trump administration before the administration changed, we wanted to be pretty vivid about making sure that the requester and the patient understand what the rules are that lead to a denial or an approval. And I know that is challenging, because there may not be a data construct to represent that, but is that part of what our comments will be, the data and the rules, so it's transparent and clear to everybody what's required for authorizations? Because now it's a little bit of a black box. There's a denial.
No, I hear you.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'll give you my perspective, and then I want other people to jump in. But the way I look at it, since we're looking at the functional capabilities for the EMR, we're going to have a functional capability that information can be received and inputted and displayed, right? Now, I think what you're asking is, do we want to make a recommendation that health plans are able to be transparent in what those underlying decision criteria are in order to do the yes, no, or whatever? I think for what we're asking right now, that's out of scope. But that definitely is in scope for the final work product, in my mind. Does anybody have any different opinion?
Tammy, I don't think he's asking about the rules for the decision making.
Oh,
I think
what
he's really talking about is number two that's in this list, which is really what are the requirements for documentation and support of the prior authorization.
And the other side.
Be fully transparent. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah.
The rules behind it, you know, ICAD chose to not go there, and that's not in this RFI either, unless people want it to be brought up. But specifically, Jim, what you're talking about is really number two here, and that is, you know, what are the documentation requirements? What is the supporting information, and what needs to be submitted all at once, so that that prior auth decision can be made without a long time on the payer's part to get a decision made.
Okay. Yeah, and just to let you know how it works right now is, you know, a patient will come in, that data will be transmitted, and there'll be an authorization number. But then what comes back is just a denial without any granular explanation of why, right? That
that's what leads to an additional burden of all these appeals. And that, so that, that's why I'm saying for provider adoption in the final product, we've got to have that be addressed. Otherwise it's asymmetric. It's just a black box.
Well, let's, is there any wording change for that functional capability you would recommend? Or, and thank you, Viet, mentioned that these rules are already represented in the DaVinci implementation guide. So when we review that, we're gonna need to look at that closely from that lens. And Hans makes a good point again, that we're with e-prior auth, this is just a wonderful use case because we're looking at both from administrative and clinical perspective, which may pull information on the practice management system and EHR. And Hans, I hope you keep us honest in that regard as we look at that complete workflow. So as we move forward, if there's any change to that, the wording there to be more clear, let me know. Otherwise, let's really take a look at those IGs from that perspective to make sure that that's captured. Great point.
And one of the capabilities, capability 5 on page 15, can we move forward one slide, speak specifically, Jim, to the denial and that a reason must be included in the denial.
Yeah, I think what I'm trying to say is part 2, right? Part 1 is on the front end, knowing the rules. Part 2 is the reason, and the reason that comes back, reason needs to be defined better. And yes. I think it does fall because reason can be didn't meet requirements, right? And so I think to enhance transparency, I think we need to really focus on what we mean by reason, what granular level.
And I would love to change it, including a specific reason and next step action, right?
Yeah. I mean, if there is, if somebody's just willy-nilly ordering a PET scan that shouldn't be, then the next step should be, don't order it. But I hear what you're saying. But I think that's important, or we'll end up with opacity that continues.
Yeah, well, they got to be able to respond and comply with that information and not have to ask for more information through a phone call or any other type of medium.
And correct. And also, the appeal process is so burdensome, right? That what happens then is
for everybody,
providers begin to learn what they did wrong and quit repeating it, right?
Right.
So the ability to actually learn, you know, means being exposed to the transparency about the rules as well as the reasons. And I think that'll help reduce burden because it allows people to understand why it was denied with more granularity.
Yeah. So what I captured, Jim, from what you just said was include a detailed reason that allows the requester to know what the next action they need to pursue in order to continue pursuing the prior auth.
Well, not quite possibly. I think before that would be letting know with enough granularity, which is, I think, that this task force should weigh in on, to have understandable and actionable reasons. Even if that means for that patient, I'm not going to pursue it. Oh, that's why, because the rules require this and the specific reason for denial was that. Yeah, there we go.
Can we add that specific patient, Rich's point about being very clear that's for a specific patient, which I think it's inferred, but just being clear. Hans, I think, is next.
This is more a procedural question as we go through. Hearing a lot of great ideas and other ones are being spun off. At some point in time, will you discuss how in between meetings as follow-ups that we can, whatever format it is, that there is a collaboration place where we can enter thoughts, ideas? What's the format in which we're going to do that? Because I'm hearing a lot of great ideas that spin out of ideas and I'm not sure where to start to put them at some point in time in between and as we go forward.
So let me take that one, and I apologize if I didn't talk about this in a robust enough manner, but we are going to have a Google Doc that's hopefully already been created, which will have all these capabilities and the questions as part of it to frame our response to ONC. So initially, Tammy and I are going to capture what we've discussed today along with the transcript and help seed some of that information into that document. In addition, we're gonna be asking all of you, and you're gonna hear this again when we go over homework in a few minutes, But we're going to be asking all of you to go in and add comments, both to the capability section as well as to the questions. And we're going to utilize that information and actually in future meetings, use that Google Doc to go through and expand the comments, inform the discussion, and capture hopefully some collaborative responses that we can all agree on. Initially, it'll be the way we've done this before is we've gathered all the input without scoping things out in the beginning. So what probably will be best for the discussion is we, capture all the ideas, and then we'll go back and review those ideas as we go through so that we're not eliminating something in a first meeting and then it keeps getting brought up. We'll know why, if we're going to not include it, why we're not including it. So we try to at least be open in the beginning to all the ideas, and then we'll review them and we'll continue to review them in each meeting until we've edited it to the degree that we're all happy. And then Tammy, did you want to add anything to that?
No, I think that's great. Thank you, Cheryl.
Okay, so you will get a link to the Google Doc. And if you use an alternate address than the one that you've used for this meeting, you need to give them that as well so they can open it up to that email.
Well, Cheryl, I will add though, I mean, we are in a short time frame. So Hans, great question. And please, everybody, when you're thinking about this, send in your thoughts to any question and we'll make sure that, we can expedite the discussion, so to speak. Rich, I think you were next.
No, took my hand down. Thanks.
Okay, yep. Sorry. Raj?
Do we have time for question?
Yes.
So the question I was thinking, as we are going to recommend looking at the functional capabilities and the certification criteria, the standards between USCDI, US Core, and what we specify there, and then the FHIR Core, what we are specifying from the FHIR side, and how the DaVinci guides align with that. I know because I'm part of that committee and working on that as well. We need to make sure that is part of the work we are doing here, so that whatever we say in the end is consistent with the standards that we say, whether it is USCDI version 3 or what's coming next. Otherwise, that we impose something and the standards are not following that, we'll have a conflict.
Good point. All right. I'm not seeing any other hands. Anyone else have any final comments? We do have public comment coming up in 2 minutes. So we have time for one or two more questions or comments before then.
The one other comment I'll make on the denial reasons, I'm not sure if you can go back to the NPRM that was frozen. There was a pretty good amount of discussion on the denial reasons and turnaround times. I believe that's well articulated in that NPRM and the final rule as well. But there is enough information that we, that's kind of overlap between the previous CMS rule and the documentation we are reading. So some of these questions could be potentially there with some answers, like how, from the CMS point of view, they thought of it with the denial reasons and turnaround times should be improved and how they should be integrated to the provider side. So it's a good read if we have time.
Thank you.
I did want to make one other comment too. That's a good point. And I think Jim, you might have brought it up, or Rich, I can't remember which one of you, but about the making sure that we're able to match on the member. One of the things that was brought up in the ICAD forum as a result of that member match was the ability to have a digital ID card that was standard. Because of the fact that a lot of providers were still scanning those documents in, and now that's even harder because of the fact that a lot of the payers have moved to digital ID cards and there's no standard for that. And so I don't know if that needs to be at least noted as part of what we're doing, but if we want to aid the member match, a lot of the providers indicated that certainly would go a long way, because now they're still having to transpose the information to get it into their system. And there's always errors associated to that. So that may be one thing we want to at least note, because it was brought up again in the prior forum. Okay, so we're at time now to go to public comment. So I'm going to turn it over to Michael. Is that you that's going to?
Yes, that is me. And so we are going to open up our meeting today for public comments. So if you would, you're on Zoom and would like to make a comment, please use the hand raise function, which is located on the Zoom toolbar at the bottom of your screen. If you happen to be on the phone only, you would press *9 to raise your hand. Then once called upon, you would press *6 to mute and unmute your line. And we do limit public comments to 3 minutes. So if any of the members of the public would like to make a public comment, please raise your hand, or if you're on the phone, hit *9. And we'll pause a minute to see if anyone would like to make a public comment. And I see no hands raised, so we can move on, and I'll turn it back to Cheryl and Tammy.
All right, so let's go to the next slide, or actually you don't need to leave this up in case anybody wants the instructions. I'll just speak to the next steps and then we can move the slide forward in a moment. So regarding next steps, you are going to get a few homework assignments. What we'd like people to do is review the RFI, obviously, if you have not. It might also be beneficial if you reviewed some of the DaVinci documents, the implementation guides for document templates and payer roles, as well as coverage requirements discovery and the prior authorization support. Again, there's a lot of material out there. Nobody's expecting anyone to be an expert, but we all have different levels of background in those efforts. And so it would be good to inform the discussion if you had at least reviewed those implementation guides. And then we will send the link with the Google Doc to the panelists. Please provide any alternative email address. For instance, in myself, I can't get in there from my Anthem address, so I have to use my personal one. And then we will ask you to make comments in the document and then hopefully associate your name to those comments. So as we will bring those forward to the next meeting, what we'd like to do in the next meeting is review the comments that have been made on the functions and capabilities that we talked about today, and then really start digging into the questions. And Tammy and I will work offline to see how many of the questions we can get through. We're not expecting we're going to get through every question in every meeting. So we'll take it in sections and go that way. Primarily, I would ask you to focus on your comments on the capabilities section, the functions, as well as like the first maybe five questions. And then we can build from there, because that may be all we'll be able to get through in the next meeting. And certainly if you have comments to other questions, please put those in. And again, if you would at least note your name, that will help us. So we will know if there's follow-up questions regarding those comments, who we can reach out to during the meeting. Also consider if there's any external SMEs who you think might be helpful for discussions. Obviously, a lot of these questions have to do with certification requirements. There are some of us here that are more knowledgeable about those than others. I know I asked that a couple of people be pulled in who I thought would be helpful to the discussion. I also noticed, Alex Goss, you were on the participating today. So, you know, and I know you have a lot to bring forward as well, but if there are particular folks we would like to hear from, let us know that ASAP, because we don't have a lot of time, but if there is someone you'd like us to bring in, we can have them come and provide some framing or some conversation or some additional input if that's needed. Our next meeting is next week. They're going to be Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Eastern time. And then we will use a similar format to this, although
primarily all of next meeting will be discussing the comments that people have populated out in the Google Doc, hopefully. Any questions about our next steps and homework? All right, anybody who has raised their hand for public comment?
I also, sorry, Cheryl, if I can make one comment. If anybody would like any help going through the implementation guides, please ping me. I'm happy to walk you through this. It's probably a crash course for you rather than you have to read the whole thing. So.
That would be wonderful, Raj, absolutely, because they are sometimes a little hard to get through if you haven't been part of the collaboration team. Someone actually suggested already in the chat, maybe it would be good for the next meeting to have someone come and step through those implementation guides, and maybe we can work that out for a first thing in the next meeting if we're able to get someone to do that for us.
Happy to help.
And so it'll be really important if you do have additional considerations for those functional capabilities, again, for the EHR criteria, that you get those in the Google Docs this week, because then obviously we can add that task of matching them up with the implementation guide. So that will just further us a little bit quicker.
Right. And then for anyone that's on the public, the Google Docs only available to the panelists, but if there is something that you would like added, please add it to the chat.
Please, yes.
Yeah, or you can send it directly to any of the panelists and we can provide that as input as well. All right, any other questions or comments before we break? I'm not seeing any other hands raised. I did just take a look through. All right, I guess then we'll give you a couple minutes back in your day and we'll look forward to your input. Hopefully that link to the Google Doc will go out by tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you for a great first meeting.
Thank you all. Bye.